Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Couple of Nukes. As always, I'm your host, Mr. Whiskey, and today I am here with Mr. Brian Strubar. He is a business coach and strategist, a relationship shepherd, a renowned author, and an inspirational speaker. Mr. Strubar, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for us, please?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Whiskey. Just a little about me. I'm one of 10 children, so I grew up in a large family. And over the years, wasn't really much of a reader for many years, but became more of a reader in my early adult life and began to write about 5, 6 years ago, and have really enjoyed sharing not only my story, but the stories of many of the people and couples that I have coached and mentored. And so I now help. In a nutshell, I guess I would say I help to transform lives through faith-based principles, mindset, and disciplines. And no matter whether you're faith-based or not, your mindset, principles, and disciplines will change your life, depending on your thought processes. That w dictates usually how you respond and what happens, or how you take action in life. Your disciplines are basically how you show up each day and what you do with yourself each day. And of course, the principles is kind of the way you run your life. So I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, Mr. Whiskey, and to share some value with your audience.
Of course, and something I want to emphasize. Now, we had a guy come on the show. We call him Babylon the Great. And he said something, Mr. Strubar, that you kind of just mentioned here. And you said, whether you're faith-based or not. And what Babylon said was, quote, whether you believe it or not, the Bible is a good book. It is a huge, wealthy fountain of information and great morals to help dictate your life. And whether you believe the law or not, whether you believe in grace or not, it's still a great resource to use. So, Mr. Strubart, what is your faith and how have you kind of applied that to the principles, mindset, and disciplines that you teach? Kind of along the lines of what I'm saying, you kind of took from the Bible some core values and ways to live life and then apply that and teach that to the people you work with, correct?
Absolutely. And I do agree with what your prior guest had shared, that the Bible is very good. And like he said, it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not, it's true. The Bible is a good book. But one of the things I like to use as an example is the law of gravity. It doesn't matter whether you believe in the law of gravity. If you jump off a cliff or off of, any high object, pretty much, we know which direction you're going. You're not going to go floating off into space. Because gravity is there. Whether you believe gravity is there or not doesn't really affect whether you go up or down. What matters is that you just take the first step. If you jump off, you will go down because we already know gravity is in effect. It's kind of the same with the law of sowing and reaping. Whether you believe it or not doesn't really matter. If you sow corn, you're not going to get lentils. If you plant a tree, you're probably not going to get green beans or cucumbers or tomatoes. What
Right.
you sow, you reap. And it's kind of that way in life as well. So I might not believe in the law of sowing and reaping. And some people call it karma or whatever other term you want to put on it. I just use the simple term coming right from the Bible. It's the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow kindness, you will reap the reward of kindness. People will be kind back to you. Now, it doesn't mean you
Right.
won't ever run into a nasty, negative person, but there are a few of them out there. You'll run into one once in a while. But then it becomes, okay, how am I going to respond to that person? So, to me, the biblical principles are things like the golden rule: treat others the way you want to be treated. If you want to be treated mean and nasty, then start treating people mean and nasty. They'll dish it right back.
Right. Now, Mr. Strubart, kind of just, we want to understand you and your life. So, how did you get to this point in your life where you're working with others and coaching them? Kind of like, after high school, where did you go off to and how did that shape your life eventually toward this path that you're on now?
Well, that's a great question because I certainly didn't see myself being a, some people call it a life coach, but I do business,
Right.
relationship, and mindset. And I guess I never even thought about being a coach or a mentor or helping other people, really, though I started my first business at 6 years old and was a debt-free entrepreneur by the age of 10. I never really thought a lot about coaching or mentoring other people, even in business, until around the age of 20, 25. Numerous of my friends saw how successful I was and that I was, a debt-free entrepreneur, buying pickups and toys and whatever else you wanted. And so they started coming to me like, how can I be a, entrepreneur? How can I turn my dreams into reality? Because I'm tired of working for, my boss. He always wants me to, work all the time and even some weekends, and I have to ask for vacation time, and you just do whatever you want. And so I began to help them turn their ideas into a, cash flow, or some people call it an income stream. And so it just kind of grew from there. And then over the years, after I'd gotten married, I got more and more into the relationship coaching and mentoring as well, because so many people struggle with relationships, whether it's your family growing up, as teens, we often fight with our parents, or if you're a parent, you often fight with your teens or even your little
Right.
kids sometimes. So relationships can be challenging. It's because I think communication is often so strained or so lacking. And so that began to set me on a new course to realize that communication was such a key. And I took a number of courses on communication. And I never thought as a kid, even as a teenager, that communication was such a vast skill set, I guess, because there's so many different types of communication. I mean, you think of, okay, I can talk. That's true. That's communication. But you can also write. That's another form of communication. Your body language. You can sign, like in sign language. You can speak multiple languages. So there's just so many different ways to communicate. You can actually communicate totally silently without ever speaking a word. You can let somebody know you're upset. They can tell that by other ways you're communicating. So communication is a vast way we communicate. Like I could tell you I don't like you while I'm hugging you, and you're probably gonna go, I don't know if I really believe you. You either don't believe my body language or the words I'm saying, one of the two, because I'm arguing with myself basically, or giving mixed messages. And so it's important to understand, especially in a marital relationship or committed relationship, when you're giving mixed messages to your partner, it often confuses them and they don't know what to believe. So that's where I think that there's so much we can learn. And I enjoyed it actually for about 5 years. I mentored guys anonymously online. There were guys struggling with porn addictions or relationships, communication, their careers, just all kinds of different struggles. Some of them were actually in prison and they were trying to put their lives back together. And so through this anonymous platform, I didn't know their real name, they didn't know my real name, but we were able to communicate back and forth. And it was really cool to be able to watch them change their mindset, understand the principles of life, and like you say, biblical principles. And it was just cool to watch how their lives just began to transform and their lives totally changed. And that's when I realized I love impacting people. I love helping people reach new heights or go further than they thought they ever could, make a bigger impact than they ever thought possible.
Right. Now you mentioned this all kind of came about when you got married. You saw, relationships. You were in a relationship, directly and saw about communication. So it's not too personal. Was your marriage struggling at all? Did you struggle with relationships beforehand? And how has helping other people helped you in your marriage, your friendships, and your business relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fine. I'm an open book, so to speak. And if they want to, they can read any of my books. A number of my books I've written, share our story. But yeah, I struggled at about year four and a half, four and a half, and into our 5th year in marriage. We felt like we just could not communicate. We just were on opposite pages or different playbooks, or some people even say different planets. Like men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and all these different books
Right.
out there. And it's cool. Yeah, we do communicate different. We come from a different perspective, and so we began going to some different marriage conferences and counselors, mentors ourselves. And I hired numerous mentors and coaches for myself because I felt like I just didn't know how to do life. I didn't understand people. I didn't understand, life in general. I didn't really even know my purpose for living at that point. I was just feeling kind of lost. Sometimes I felt like life was almost pointless, or I felt like giving up. I felt frustrated because I didn't really know my purpose or what God wanted me to do with my life. And so it was just a real time of questioning and seeking and trying to figure myself out and what God's plan for me was. And through that time, God gave me a whole new vision of helping other people through my struggles, basically turning my tests into my testimony and using that as a message to help other people. There's a title of a book I'm considering writing about how to turn your messes into your message and how to use your failures and turn them into your gold mine. Basically, your failures, the things you've learned from, those lessons that we've all failed and had to pick ourselves up, we can use those to help others. And that's where a lot of the most successful people make their fortunes, is because they use their mess ups to speak to people who are struggling in that same arena or same area. So, for example, if I struggle with pornography, I could now help guys out of pornography. So if I struggled with financial, indebtedness or financial issues, it would be much easier to help people who are having financial challenges. So there's just a lot to that in understanding that if you've been through something, you can help someone else through it, because now they know you understand the struggle. Maybe it's an addiction. Many people who are, addiction counselors have already been addicted, and that's how they know and can relate to the people struggling with addiction. So that's just something I've been considering writing. I haven't actually started that book or started putting it on paper yet, but it is something that I've been considering because so many people are sitting on a gold mine. Even if they get into their 50s or even 60s, they may even reach retirement and they feel like their life was a waste. Maybe their family fell apart, their kids won't talk to them, different things like that. It's like if you could take your life, the mistakes you've made, instead of being able to go back and redo it, because none of us have that option, you can't turn back the clock, so to speak. What if you could take those lessons and you could now invest those into other people and help them through those struggles so they don't make the same mistakes? And even if you only charge a small amount, you can make a fortune because people want to hear from people who've already been through what they're going through. And it just makes it easier for any of us, if we're going through something, to be able to talk to somebody. Like if you lose your parent, it's nice to have somebody that says, "Look, I already lost my mom and dad. You're going to make it." Or, "I understand what you're going through." So
Right.
it just helps. So hopefully that helps and answers your question.
Yes, sir. And now I'm actually going to plug one of my most recent episodes, Life and Dating Advice 4, because we had a man who was a sinner and he came on the show and he's now a religious man after miracles were performed on his daughter. And he said something and we had a conversation. And it was, a lot of people struggle with religion and life in general because they have this victim mentality of why me? And we've had people come on the show and say, well, how about you ask why not me? And one of his justifications for human suffering, right? Because everyone always gets angry at God. Why would you kill a child? Stuff like that. And all the stuff that he suffered through, all the stuff that I've suffered through, we summed it up as this, Mr. Strubar, and you mentioned it basically, you basically said what I'm about to say, but relatability. And sometimes we have to suffer through things because you never know whether you believe in God or not, who later down on in life is going to go through something like that. And now we're set up to help them, like you said. And now you've taken all of your suffering, as well as your failures and successes in life, and you've written a lot of books. I'm going to list them all here real quick. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find them in the description below for the show. You'll find a link to Amazon where you can find all of these books, read the back cover and all of that. But we've got The Ripple Effect Mindset, Recycling Failures to Power Success, Escaping Religion Prison, Grooming and Grilling Future Son-in-Laws, Keys to Everlasting Love, Steak for Your Soul, True Emotional Nudity. Now, Mr. Strubar, I'm sure they're all great books, but if I were to pick one that was all around helpful, right? Because everyone's going to have different needs, different wants. But if you were to say, hey, this is the book that I recommend the most, which of those are you a fan of?
So for an all-around book, I would say Steak for Your Soul is going to be the most variety, I guess, of all the principles. The other books are much more targeted or niched down, so to speak, just like the True Emotional Nudity really talks about being emotionally naked with yourself, your spouse, and with God, where the Steak for Your Soul talks about all different areas of life, whether it's setting goals, financial freedom, reaching success, taking the next step, applying yourself. Time freedom, all these different areas of life. As an example, the first chapter is talking about the seven most important things in life. And the first one is time, what you do with your time, understanding time. Another one is freedom. What good is life without freedom? And so a lot of times people just forget what the most important things in life. We get so caught up in the trivial little things of paying bills, getting a new toy, or getting the oil changed in the car, whatever it is. We get upset about stupid things that in the long term, 5, 10 years from now, you're probably not even going to care about. But yet we don't
Right.
think about the things that do matter the most. Spending a little bit of time with your mom and dad, or with your kids, or with your spouse, taking time and being intentional to do what's most important. And one of my mentors, about a month ago, was I was in session with him, and he was sharing that so many people think that if they just schedule their life or schedule what's most important, it's like, no, you don't just have to schedule your life. You don't prioritize your schedule. You need to schedule your priorities. And it's when you put that in order, instead of prioritizing the schedule and just trying to be so scheduled and so regimented, and there's nothing wrong with that. That can help. A lot of people are just so lax or so lackadaisical, so to speak, that they just have no rhyme or reason to what they do. It's just whatever they feel like in the moment. But if you actually schedule your priorities, that means you do the most important things first. And so you know what's most important, the top two or three things for the day. After that, then you start working on the want-to-do list. So we all have a big want-to-do list. I want to do this. I want to do that. I should do this. I should do that. But what do you need to do? What is the most important thing to who you want to be? And when you look at that and you now prioritize that, you can have a lot of successful days. Because to me, success is not a benchmark like, oh, when I get to $100,000 a year, that's a I'm now successful. Or when I reach $1 million in the bank, or maybe I become a billionaire. That does not mean you're successful. Some of the most successful and most wealthy people on the planet feel like a total failure because their family fell apart. They lost
Right.
multiple marriages, their kids committed suicide, whatever. Things happen and they feel like a failure. Money is
Right.
not the ultimate success. It's not even a measure of success. Success is being able to complete what you started, being able to do what you want to do without having to beg someone else for permission. That to me is
Right.
success. When you can do what you want to do, you don't have to ask your boss for vacation. You don't have to beg your boss to give you, a front on next month's pay so that you can go on vacation or whatever it might be. No, you can actually do what you want when you want without having to ask for permission. And it's just so amazing to have the freedom, the time freedom, the financial freedom, the religious freedom. And that's where I believe America is still one of the most powerful and best countries in the world to live in because they provide freedom in so many different areas. And so
Right.
that's where I think that the Stake for Your Soul book is probably the best all around book just because it covers so many different areas. So there's seven chapters with seven different principles generally in each chapter, and then there's a bonus chapter with an additional 49 principles.
Right. That special number 7, even 49 is 7 times 7, if I can still do some nuclear math here. But yeah, so you said a
Yeah,
lot of
you're right
things I
on.
want to, you said a lot of things I want to touch on. So, first of all, you said emotional nudity was being naked with yourself, your spouse, and God. And I love that you said that because, and I think almost everyone knows this, but for those of you who aren't familiar with Genesis, according to the Bible, humankind was made naked. We weren't clothed until after we violated God's one and only rule. And I think, the clothing represents a lot of things. And I think the nakedness, the emotional nakedness with God is so important because a lot of people are hiding from God, running from God, and are afraid to be seen by him. So
So
definitely
true.
interested in checking out that book. Mr. Strubar, you said the second thing you mentioned was freedom and life. And you said, what good is life without freedom? And I'm gonna turn it around on you and say, what good is freedom without life? If you're not living, like you said, and that's essentially I'm summing up what you said, which was, you're chained down by money or errands or stress or other people. And I actually brought up a song here for our listeners who communicate better through music. Like you said, there's a lot of forms of communication, and artwork and music is a form of expressing the soul. And I
Absolutely.
think being able to create greatest gift God ever gave us. He made us in his image. He's a creator. He created everything. And I think us being able to create stuff is so amazing. If you look at our ability to create compared to animals, so drastically on levels beyond that, but music, all these sounds and lyrics. And I brought up a song here. Are you a fan of country music by any chance,
Sure.
Mr.
Yeah,
Bar?
absolutely.
Yeah, so Toby Keith has a song called My List. And he has this list of errands to do for the day. And you know what? He says halfway through the day, he kind of puts it off and he's like, you know what I gotta do? My spiritual list. Go for a walk, say a little prayer, take a deep breath of some mountain air, put on my glove and play some catch. It's time to make time for that. And he talks about how he's been overworking himself. And you know what? He's got a kid he's gotta push on a backyard swing. And you know, the shed can wait. You know, the whatever he has to do, cutting the grass can wait. Sometimes we overwork ourselves. Because we're, you know, it's funny, we're overworking ourselves chasing after time. Time is always available. You just got to manage it, you know. And I love how you said living your life so scheduled. You know, if I do this, I can get to this. If I do this, I can get to this. And so many people need help taking a step back and relaxing. And I'm glad your books provide some insight into that. And it's definitely awesome. And you said also like how money is not happiness. And I can't stress that enough. You hear it everywhere, but you said like you could have all the success, like 100K a year is success. But Darius Rucker and Dax did a song. Dax made a song, To Be a Man, one of the greatest songs ever written. And he remixed it a few times. And on the one with Darius Rucker, he talks about being trapped inside a house you built for your family, but you don't recognize it as home. You know, you could have this huge house, all the success. But if you go home and you have a glass of whiskey and you watch mind-numbing television at night and you hear your kids and wife happy and you're just unhappy, it's like, what kind of life is that? I mean, money can't buy happiness. You're right. There's so many famous people and people with money who aren't happy. And I used to work in the blue-collar industry with, I worked at an acid plant and the guys had money, but the guy would work for 30 days straight, 12 hours rotating shift work. He goes, just money, money, money. I want to have money to do things I want. And he was in his late 60s. I'm like, man, you know what? What's the point of getting all that money? Now you're out of time. You know, you got to keep the two balanced.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you there. And that's where I'm glad you turned that around because that's kind of the way I look at it through even just that first chapter of Steak for Your Soul is what good is time if you have no freedom? What good is time or life if you have no communication, if you have no relationships, if you have no faith, if you don't believe in something, what good is it? You don't believe in anything but yourself?
What's
I
your
mean,
reason for living?
exactly. You got to have something bigger than yourself to live for. That's a pretty boring life. So I'm glad you turned that around because that is so true in so many different areas of life. You know, and it's not just what we believe. Yes, the principles we live by are important, but it's the decisions we make. And I have to remind your listeners or your audience how important it is that we are basically the sum or the culmination of all the little decisions we make every single day. And where I wake up tomorrow is dependent on the decisions I make today. If I do a bad or poor decision today, I may wake up in prison tomorrow. So
Right.
we just have to remember every day you wake up based on the decisions you made the day or the week or the months before. So it's a culmination. Life is a continual rolling cycle of sowing and reaping. You know, every day you get to reap what you've sowed prior and continue to sow. So, whatever you continue to sow, some things you sow will reap consequences much quicker. Just like if I break the speed limit and a cop sees it, I may get a ticket immediately. But if I go out and kill somebody, it might be a year or two till I get sentenced and spend the rest of my life in prison. But many things that we do will have long-term consequences or harvest, so to speak, where the other things will be a very quick, short, and sweet harvest because it wasn't quote unquote a major infraction. It was, you know, just breaking the speed limit. So it's 150 bucks and you're out down the road again. But if you kill somebody,
Right.
you might spend life in prison. So we just have to remember there is gravity to our decisions, and every decision, especially the words we speak, are a final decision. You can't retract them. And just like, and I mentioned this in the time section on the first chapter, the way you spend your time is important. The decisions you make with your time every day, because you can't retract it. You can't turn back the clock and go, you know what? Let me go back and relive today because I wish I could do it over. You can't. You can't change yesterday. You aren't promised tomorrow. And so all we have is today. And so today is the day that you have to make those decisions. And whatever you decide today will affect tomorrow.
Right. And, I love NF is a rapper, and he wrote a song called Oh Lord, and it's very touching for people who, he talks about how society treats religion and God now. And one of his lines was, "And if you're not real, Lord, what are we all doing down here? What is the purpose?" And talking about consequences, that's important. Now, you talk a lot about, so you had mentioned prison and being arrested, and one of your books is actually Escaping Religion Prison. And I was very curious about that because in my episode that I mentioned earlier, Life and Dating Advice 4, we talked about how, especially as youth, religion is weaponized against us. Religion is a tool, and how people use it really affects us. Also, something Mr. Ricky said on that episode that is so important. He said, our parents and how they treat us, we end up reflecting on God. And I think that's important. And what we see from churches, ministries, and other believers, we also all reflect onto God instead of who he is, which is why it's so important to read the Bible and know him instead of base him off of other people. Like it'd be like basing a company, like saying, oh, Elon Musk is so and so because I met one of his employees and they were like this. You got to look at it from that point of view. But yeah, so what is Escaping Religion Prison? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was raised, just in case your audience doesn't realize this, a lot of people don't even realize how far-fetched some religions have gone. I was raised in an ultra-conservative church, and people are like, well, what's conservative mean? Well, you can take it any way you want. Religion is a very broad term, but in the church I was raised in, they taught us that it was sin. For example, to ride your bicycle on Sunday if it was in front of the house where the neighbors could see it. However, if you rode in the backyard where nobody could see you riding it, then it wasn't sin. Same with if you play volleyball on Sunday, out in front of the house, it's sin. Behind the house or inside a building where nobody can see you playing volleyball on the Lord's Day, then that's not sin. And we look at that and we go, what the
Wow.
heck? How
Right.
the heck? You don't think God can see over the roof? You don't think you can see inside a building? But it
Right.
went even further. Like you couldn't have the radio antenna on your car. You couldn't have the white walls turned out on your tires. They had to be turned inner so that nobody could see them unless they're looking under your car. It's like, well, what difference does that make? And they looked at it as it was a form of idolatry, like you were worshiping your car or you were, creating an idol or an image of something. And so I understand where they're
Oh,
coming from.
wow.
But one of the things I had to realize growing up was it's not about the little tiny detail, though it is, it's not about how long is my hair, what color car I drive, how long's the antenna, how long is, my sleeve on my shirt. For example, we could not wear short sleeve shirts. We had to wear long sleeve shirts. I mean, what is God afraid of seeing my naked arm? I mean, come on, he made it. I don't think it's going to freak him out too bad. They couldn't talk about sex. Why? God created it. There's nothing embarrassing about it. He's not embarrassed about it, so why should we be? And so you just look at all these different aspects to religion, and it's like religion is in a nutshell, it's man-created rules trying to please a holy God. And you just can't fathom in many cases in our human finite minds how big God is. And thinking that my little rule is going to control you or someone else and make them now, match what he wants, that's just idiocracy, in my opinion. I mean, it's idiotic to think that my little rule is going to make you please him. But yet it gives people the, I don't know if you want to call it job title, or they feel like they're in charge, so to speak, and they manipulate other people with their rules and their control. And they almost become the Holy Spirit to tell people, well, that was wrong, but this is right. They would dictate what type of music we could listen to. We couldn't even listen to music that had a beat or any instruments with it. It had to be a cappella only. Now, what's the difference? I don't think a drum on a, tape or CD back when I was a kid, I don't think that makes it a sinful CD or a sinful song. It could still be a gospel song, but if you want to have a guitar with it, it's suddenly sin. I'm like, I don't think the guitar makes the song bad. Just because there is a beat or just because there is an instrument doesn't mean the song is now a satanic worship ritual or something stupid. So it just became, and for me, the transition was understanding what spiritual abuse is. And yes, there's a lot of abuses in religion. We hear a lot in the news about sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, all these different abuses. And that does happen. And that's bad. It's wrong. It's sin. I agree. And it should be punished, even legally if necessary. But what about spiritual abuse, where religious leaders are basically indoctrinating people, telling them what's right, what's wrong, what to do to please God, and yet it has nothing to do with pleasing God. God looks at our heart and the intent and the motives. And that's why it says his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing from the thoughts and intents of the heart. And to me, that's what God is judging us by, is what was your motive? Why did you help the old lady across the street? Did you hope she would pay you? Or did you do it out of the goodness of your heart? Why did you, pay for the guy behind you in line at McDonald's or buy the coffee for the person behind you? Why did you do it? Did you just want the accolades, the thank you, the praise of men? Or did you do it because you were grateful to God? And so you just look at the little thoughts and intents of our heart. Why did I do that? And that's where it's, to me, so convicting. And if you look at the New versus Old Testament, the Old Testament came down hard on, let's just say, idolatry. So if a man slept with his neighbor's wife, they would stone him to death. In the New Testament, Jesus took it a whole nother step further, and he said, no, it's the heart. If you just look at a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And so he takes it to the heart level. And that's where I realized that I had to be set free. And there was an incident where I was out of town, out of state, totally alone with just someone I had met online. We had chatted on a forum. And so I went and visited and went to their church, and it was totally different than anything I had been raised in. And I had to be set free from all these religious rules. And I said, thank God we got there late, and I sat in the back, because as I sat in the back, I was judging everything happening in this church service. They were singing, and they had instruments on the stage. Well, that's a sin, because I was taught you can't even bring an instrument to church, or that's a sin. You must be worshiping Satan if you have a guitar in the church. So
Right.
they had guitars. He had a couple, people up there. One guy was playing a drum. One of the guys singing was in shorts. Well, that's a sin, because I can see his legs, And there was a girl up there in a short skirt. It was above her knees. Well, that's a mini skirt. And so, she's sinning. She's obviously not right with God. And as I began to judge thing after thing after thing, it was like God tapped me on the shoulder. He goes, who do you think you are? I'm like, God, don't you see these people are living in outright sin? I mean, they're projecting sin from the platform. He's like, these are my people. Who do you think you are? Are you better than me? And it took me back, and it rocked my world, because I realized God doesn't have those rules. They're not his rules. Those are men's rules that they simply put out there to try to control and manipulate us. And I began to break those chains of the spiritual bondage that I was in. And I literally bawled almost the entire service. And for me, the climax of that freedom came at the end of the service. They wanted to take communion. And many of your listeners may not be from a religious background, understand what communion is, but I was taught in that strict religious circle that I was raised in that if you take communion and you're not right with God, then that's an outright sin. You're basically drinking damnation to yourself.
You'll get a
And so
curse
I'm
put on you.
sitting there. Yeah, it's like you're going to curse yourself. And so I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, I can't take communion with people. I don't agree with them wearing shorts in church. Even the preacher was wearing shorts. He's preaching. He preached the sermon from shorts. I'm like, I don't even know if he was using the right Bible. I mean, how do I know what version he's using if he's thinking shorts are okay?
Right, that is
And
wild.
so I was just judging nonstop. And it was just at the end, and Jesus was like, that's fine. You don't have to take communion. I am. Are you with me or are you against me? And that's what I felt in my spirit. And I just began to plead for forgiveness, because I didn't realize how deceived I had been, thinking that what I had been taught was right. And it's almost a religious brainwashing of sorts, where people are literally taught that this is right, anything else is wrong. If they tell you different than this, don't listen to them. It's just, a deception from the enemy trying to get you to loosen up and do what's wrong and, take his bait and all these other things. And it's like, no, you're the freaking trap of the enemy here. You're making up false laws. You're the one deceiving me into thinking this is right when it's not right. That's not God. That's not the God of the Bible. And so I had to break free from that. And so in that book, Escaping Religion Prison, I expose a lot of those spiritual abuses. and how to break free and how to have a daily relationship with Christ yourself.
Wow, that's amazing. And you would recommend it not only to people who feel like they're being spiritually abused or in a relationship where, or in a church setting or a, religious group where they feel trapped, but also just people in general to kind of open up their eyes to what goes on in the religious world, to maybe non-believers who are non-believers because of these spiritual abuses.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of church hurt. I don't know how many people I've run into in the last even just 4 or 5 years who have walked away from God, the Bible, the church, everything they knew growing up because they were raised in the church, but they got hurt by things that were said, by things that were done, especially by religious leaders, pastors and elders and, bishops, etc. All these different religious leaders, they're human. And so if they mess up, we take it as, well, if there's something bad or something was wrong, then I'm just going to throw it all out. And I like the term, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because just because, like you said, somebody is a bad representation of Christ doesn't mean that's Christ. And that is so crucial to understand. And yet when you're taught that this is right, no question, don't even ask questions, and then you see something different, you're like, well, that's definitely got to be wrong because it's different than what I was taught. But when
Right.
you realize that Christ is the only one we can look to. Seek him first. It's not about trying to please all these rules and be perfect in our appearance and all these other things. Not that I'm saying you should just go sin in thought, word, and deed and just trust that his grace is going to cover you. But I think that we also have to work out our own salvation. We have to have a daily relationship and communicate with Christ every single day. And to me, that's the only way that you're going to truly please God and walk in his spirit.
Right. And whether you're religious or not, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to read the Bible. Here's the thing. When you don't read the Bible, you are dependent on the knowledge of others, right? And we talked about how most people, they don't want to have a boss telling them what to do or what's true or not. Most people don't want to be controlled by the government or this and that, Big Brother and stuff. Look, read the Bible yourself. Make your own decisions. Read it and interpret it. And if you're intimidated by it, it's actually a pretty simple book. And firstly, you can get simpler versions of it, especially people who, the only Bible they've ever heard is the King James Version. I mean, you know how it is. People are intimidated by that. But I read the New International Version. It's broken down to simpler to understand. Now, I'm a bit more advanced because I'm learning Greek and Hebrew to read the original Bible, which I highly encourage everyone. The Bible in Greek is so powerful and it's so much more detailed and exact that it will blow your mind. But just for everyone out there, it's like being dependent on other people is so bad for you in that sense. Just like, look, it's just like the modern world of fake news, right? You can go on the internet, it's like knowing God based on other people's actions and words is like saying, well, I saw it on TikTok. Look, people can do stuff on TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram all they want, but it doesn't mean it's right or what the company or the program or the people represent. And in fact, we talked about it on, I'm gonna plug that same episode with Ricky D. Sluder. He was a police officer, a police detective for 10 years, and he had a woman come up to him and was basically like, why are all cops, jerks and all that when they had those movements going on? And it's like, look, a few individuals of the law enforcement industry have maybe taken things to extremities that they shouldn't have, but it doesn't mean they're all bad. Just like if a teacher sleeps with a student, it doesn't mean all teachers are predators or, but society has come to this conclusion now where they just want to conclude all people or what a single person does. Just like, I get all the time, oh, you're a white Catholic male, you're racist. Not at all. I mean, so stuff like that. And I just want that to be understood. And if y'all liked the parable that Mr. Strubar was given of the what you reap, what you sow, and that's such a common expression, Jesus, that's probably one of his most used parables. He gave it in multiple different examples and he talks about multiple different ways of planting seeds and how it works. Now, Mr. Strubar, you have all this knowledge and wisdom that you've accumulated over the years. Let's say I'm someone who wants to reach out to you. How can I do so? And we'll start with talking about OWL, OWWLL. That's how you and I met. I'm actually a part of the program, and I'll plug myself in after
Yeah,
you tell us a
absolutely.
little bit about that. But go ahead and plug in the program real quick.
So OWL is a really cool platform, and definitely make sure you give your audience your referral code, because for me, OWL is a way to connect and have conversations, just like calling someone on the phone. So yes, you can absolutely reach out to me there. That's the easiest, quickest way to probably get on a phone conversation with me. And the nice thing is, especially if you're a lady and you're worried about, multiple people, especially people you don't really know, having your phone number and sending you pictures or things you don't want, or even scamming or spamming you with things, that is the perfect platform. It's a great way to connect, and you don't need their phone number. So people cannot get your phone number, and you can leave reviews, which I think is cool, because especially for a lady, if they're talking to me and I creep them out in some way, they can leave a negative review or less of a star rating. And don't worry about being penalized, because if you leave a 3-star or less, it actually comes up anonymous, so nobody knows who left it. But I think it's really amazing that you can have these conversations with people, and if they're calling you to pick your brain or, learn something from your life, your experience, your knowledge, et cetera, then they pay you for your conversations. So it's a really cool way to make a few extra bucks. I know Mr. Whiskey has been on there just a very short time, but I believe that you've had some powerful conversations and connections in just your first couple weeks on the platform. Is that correct?
It is. And basically for people who aren't tracking what we're saying right now, it's basically LinkedIn, except you can leave reviews on people and you can call them without knowing their phone number. And that way, you can get a better connection.
Yeah, it's kind of actually like LinkedIn and Cameo had a baby, if you want to call it that. And so
Right.
you can literally talk to the person, and then leave reviews, but yet you can see their professional profile. It's not somewhere where you can just, message back and forth. It's not a, Facebook Messenger or, TikTok or something like that. You have a spot on your profile. You can put a few videos, but it's not something that you're building this massive database of all the content you create. No, it's about having a little profile, a couple videos, and people can reach out and talk to you. Now, you can also have links to your other socials. So you can connect your own website, your LinkedIn, your Facebook, your Instagram, TikTok, whatever you want to put on there. They have quite a few different ones that you can stick on there. And that's cool. So you can put your four favorites, whatever you want, for people to be able to go to message you on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you prefer. So I like that. It's kind of like a link tree, if you want to call it that, on steroids, because they can just call you right there instead of having to click a link, go leave a message, or fill out your form or whatever else. I would rather just talk to the person. And if your audience happens to be an entrepreneur and they have their own business, for example, how cool is it that people can literally call you direct? I actually use my OWL profile as a call me now button right on my own website. So if somebody's on my website and they need help with something, or they want, some ideas or some clarification, or maybe they want some personal application to something that they read or were trying to understand on my site, they can call me directly right through the app. So I think the OWL app and the OWL platform is just an incredible tool, because I don't sell to all the people that do these, I call them, the digital response, the thumbs up, the hearts, the smileys, whatever else. Those are all great. They give us a little fuzzy feeling, but they don't pay my bills. It don't matter if I had 100,000 smiley faces today, it doesn't pay my rent next month. It doesn't pay my mortgage next year. It doesn't even pay the taxes. It doesn't do nothing for me, really, in the long or grand scheme of things. Yeah, it makes me feel good for a minute. Oh, I got 55 likes on that little video. Well, that's all cool, but did it pay you anything? Because I sell to people, I serve people, I impact people. I don't impact the internet. The internet itself is not benefited by me and the benefit I bring, my life experience and wisdom, so to speak. I don't think the internet itself could care less. That's an inanimate object. I influence and impact lives, which is people. And so I need to have a conversation with them. And without a meeting of the mind, so to speak, what good am I? Without communication, I'm of pretty much little use. And that's where a number of years ago, my mentor John Maxwell influenced me that I should be writing, because if you're not writing, you're stuck influencing whoever you basically talk to or influence during your lifetime. Nobody after you is going to really be influenced by you. Now, granted, if you're on podcasts like you are, Mr. Whiskey, they may catch one of your prior recordings once you're gone. But guess what? It's still going to be limited. It's going to become lost in the massive amounts where if you have books, they can search your name and all your books come up and they can read it and share it and give it and, gift it and all these cool things. And it's a physical, tangible thing that can be, highlighted and clipped out, and they can take excerpts out of your book and, whatever. It's a cool way to impact future generations. So I love
Right.
what you're doing here, and that's really cool. This is just another way to communicate and impact people that love the audio side of communication. Some people like audio, some people like written. So that's where I'm beginning to branch into podcasting much more, though I don't have my own show currently. I believe there's so much value in impacting lives and giving people something to think about while you're working out. Maybe you're driving down the road if you're a truck driver, or maybe you're just at the gym, trying to stay in shape, whatever. That's great. But now you can feed your mind while you're exercising your body.
Right, and EJ Snyder and I talked about this, leaving a legacy, and how awesome it is that years after he's gone and I'm gone, like you said, people can take our lives and our knowledge and better themselves and their lives years after we're gone. And it's insane to think about that, you know? And but that's awesome. I think there's no greater mission than helping other people. And just
Absolutely.
as we mentioned, I'm also on the Owl app. That's again, that's OWWLL. And the reason you should contact me or what I'm good for is I'm a comedian, a podcaster, a content creator, and I'm an author. So I've published 9 books so far, published about 1 to 3 a year. I've
That's
got,
awesome.
yeah, thank you. It's just, you know, God, it's, I give all the credit to God. You know, I just one day in English class in 8th grade, or maybe it was 7th grade, this teacher was like, write the beginning of a book and we're going to work on hooking an audience. And that's how it all started. I have hundreds of pages worked on, and my list of books to publish is currently 80 long.
Wow.
I'm making pretty good progress. You know,
That's awesome.
and I want to encourage the writers out there, at least one page a day. That'll get you 365 pages by the end of the year. It doesn't have to be the same book. Like I said, I've got a list of 80 books. When I'm burnt out on one book, I work on the other. So I have hundreds of pages started on various books. And I jump around because you know what? Sometimes it's a time and a place where your book will be better launched, or sometimes it's just what I'm feeling. You know, my books, a lot of my books are, because I'm a fictional writer, so it's kind of based on my emotions in my life, but I am releasing my first nonfiction book this year on identity crisis, suicidal ideations, and depression after transitioning out of the military. Something I've dealt with personally that I'm still going through, and something that a lot of people who have come on my show, I mean, that's kind of the basis of my show. We were started off as a comedy show, and we're supposed to be comedy, and we quickly branched into life advice because so many veterans, active duty military, first responders, and civilians all struggle with all these things, especially in our modern society. It's only becoming worse and worse. And so now I'm a platform for those people to share their stories, share a few laughs along the way, and advise each other. And just like you, Mr. Strubar, giving us some great advice so people can overcome these traumas and, you know, these setbacks in life and really be successful. So that will be coming out in a couple months now. And then I'm also a ghostwriter. You know, I've been writing books for so long, and I never thought, like, well, there's people out there who can't write books but have a story to tell. And so y'all can contact me and be like, hey, I run this podcast, or I run this program, or this is my life story, and I want to turn it into a book, but I'm struggling. And, you know, you pay me to write it for you, and I give you all the credit, you know, your name on the book. And it's your book officially. So reach out to me for that. As far as comedy, I don't have dates yet. I may be going on tour soon, and I do perform locally in Georgia, but I'm not the best comedian yet. You know, I'm still learning. It's pretty new to me. But yeah, and again, those difficult conversations, you know, I've had plenty of sleepless nights, especially when I was in the service where I stayed up all night with service members who felt like they were a danger to themselves or others. And I've had those really difficult conversations. And, you know, the nice thing too about Owl, you'll see my profile But relatively, you're kind of talking to a stranger compared to if you're scared to talk to your friends or family, you can have that conversation with me, and I can also connect you with a lot of resources to help you out. And there are hotlines, so make sure you call those. It's 988.
And
But
Mr. Whiskey,
yeah.
I'm curious, what is the name of one of your books? Because I was just looking here on Amazon. I was just looking under Mr. Whiskey and I didn't see it.
Yeah,
So,
so they're under my real name. Mr. Whiskey is my podcaster name. But
gotcha.
my nonfiction book, talking about my identity crisis, is actually going to merge my two lives together. And then soon, Mr. Whiskey and my real identity will be the same person. And you will find all of my books on my website and everything. And Mr. Strubar, after we get off recording here, I'll share you that information.
Okay,
But yeah, it's
sure.
coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you follow the
Cool.
show at when I merge my two lives, which is going to be a pretty big thing. And it's going to be really important for the book. Essentially,
Awesome.
just to give a little tease, it's like, you grow up and your identity is the consequence of wherever you're at. You're a son or a brother or this and that. And then I was in the military and I was petty officer. That's all I was. And now I'm out. And now I'm Mr. Whiskey, but when I'm not Mr. Whiskey, I'm no one. And so I'm gonna really address that and talk about that. But yeah, so you can find me on there. And again, I have a referral code, which you can check out the description for the show and use that when you sign on, which we highly recommend you do to start connecting with professionals, some high-ranked professionals, some low-ranked professionals, people all around, all different talents, as well as you can get paid to be someone who gets contacted. But yeah, Mr. Struber, before we end things here, is there anything else you want to discuss? I feel like we've covered a lot, and I want to make sure you really get your message across here.
Yeah, we truly have covered a lot of great advice for people. And I think that, one of the biggest things that I think has been a life-changing, I guess you'd call it message or principle that I've had to live by is even when you feel like giving up, don't quit because, quitters never really win and winners just never quit. And so it doesn't matter how you feel, feelings come and go. And one of the things that I talk about in my Steak for Your Soul book is about forgiveness and how forgiveness has to be a decision in many cases before the feeling comes. And that's often how life is. We have to make decisions that we know are right and do what's right, whether we feel like it or not. So many cases, as an example, we may not feel like going to work when we wake up. We may not even feel like getting out of bed. If it's cold and snowing or raining or miserable outside, you may not feel like getting up and going outside and going to work, or you may not feel like getting up to do anything for that matter. But yet we make the decision to get up every single day, face the world, put a smile on, et cetera. Those are just daily little decisions. And I don't remember the statistic, but years ago I heard a statistic that those who get up and make their bed every single day, and I don't remember the percentage now, or whatever percentage it is, that much more successful, or on average, that much more successful than the people who do not make their bed. And it's just a small discipline that every day you get out of bed, you turn around, you make the bed, and then you go about your day. And it's like, why is it such a little thing, but yet it makes such a massive difference? And so there's just little things like that in life. And one of the things I did want to mention too, just because we talked about it briefly about the True Emotional Nudity book, I was raised by my dad, who I think is a very hard or very emotionally scarred individual in many ways. He was taught, and I was, of course, taught by him, that a man should never cry. Your wife or your kids should never see you to cry. It doesn't matter if you smash your finger with a hammer or drop something or something falls on your head or whatever. Like as an example, my dad cut his leg real bad with a chainsaw one time. He sewed it up with no anesthesia. He literally sat there and sewed his own leg. I watched him sew his own leg with this massive gash. I'm just like, doesn't that hurt? I'm a little kid and I'm thinking, man, them needles are sharp. That's gotta hurt. But yet he was tougher than his pain. And I realized, actually it was just a few years ago, my grandmother, my dad's mom, passed away. And at his own mother's funeral, he never shed a tear. And I realized there's a problem because you can't admit that you have internal pain or emotional struggle. And that was what kind of pushed me over the edge to actually write that book and to share my journey of being okay with not being okay. It's okay to not be okay all the time. Yeah, we all have good days, but we sometimes have bad days. Sometimes we lose someone close to us. Sometimes we hurt ourselves. It's not a sin to cry. I don't care if you're a man or a woman or a child, it doesn't matter. We are emotional beings and God created us that way. And so we need to be able to share those emotions. And like I said, be emotionally naked with yourself. Admit you have struggles. Admit you're having a bad day. Admit you need God. You need help. You need a coach. You need a mentor. Those things help. And so being able to admit it to yourself and God is first and foremost the most important. And that's why kind of the subtitle of that book is Removing the Masks, because how many of us live life masked? We don't want people to truly know who we are. And I think that it's perpetrated throughout life. We see it in all the, catalogs and magazines, and it's out all over Instagram or social media because everybody's, picture perfect. They're tweaking or photo editing their photos to take off all the blemishes. Women wear makeup because they don't want to, be less pretty than the next girl down the street or whatever else. It's like a massive competition. And it's like, God created you beautiful. He gave you that, birthmark or crooked nose or big ears or your short stature or your tall stature or your big feet or whatever it might be. He gave you that on purpose. That is one of the telltale signs, if you want to call it, that's basically God's fingerprint on you, that you are special. He made you just the way He wanted you. And I think so many of us whine and complain, well, I'm too tall, or I'm too short, my ears are too big, my jawline's too this or too that. Quit complaining because God made you the way He wanted you. And you may not understand right now why, but when you get to heaven and you find out, you're going to be like, wow, that's really cool. Thank you. I didn't even think of that. And so I think that so many of us go through life looking at everything as to why couldn't I be as good as so and so, or why couldn't I be this? And I realized that so many of us in life, and I was, this way for many years, I would compare my life to those I saw online. I'd look at their Facebook, their Instagram, whatever, and I'm looking at their highlight reel. I'm like, that doesn't look like my life. But I never thought it through that I'm comparing my low light reel with their highlight reel. They're not posting all their low lights. They're posting their highlights. They get a new car, they get a new, whatever, four-wheeler or jet ski, or they go on a cool vacation, or whatever it might be. They're posting all the highlights. And then I'm comparing their highlights to my lowlights. Well, I'm really struggling. I'm broke. I can't afford rent. I can't this. I can't that. I don't have vacation time. What the heck? This ain't fair. And so when you compare yourself to others, matter of fact, that's a scripture verse, is though they compare themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not going to make you happier when you're always comparing yourself. And comparison is only good if you're comparing yourself to yourself. Am I growing? Am I becoming better? Am I becoming a bigger person? Am I responding right? Am I responding better today than I did yesterday? So to me, that's where we should compare ourselves to ourselves and our prior self, and compare yourself to God. Is this the way Jesus would respond? Is this the way Jesus would love others? How would Jesus respond? And when we compare ourselves to him, we're not comparing ourselves to others. Instead of saying, well, I'm better than so and so. Yeah, but you're still not as good as Christ. So quit comparing yourself to everybody else. Look at him. He's the perfect example of love and joy and peace and patience. Patience is so lacking in our day and age. And so my message would be, work on yourself. God didn't give you the responsibility to work on everyone else. And so, if you just work on you and you become a better version, you will become much bigger, much happier, and a much better version of yourself than you will by just simply whining and complaining that you're not like everyone else. So, that's pretty much, my message today for your audience is be you. Everybody else is already taken.
Right, and you talked about the, some people call it toxic masculinity associated with, how men are supposed to react to stuff. And what I'll say is in Dax's song To Be a Man, the Mega Remix, one of the singers said this. He said he only has a few examples of men in his life, and only one of them made perfection lifelike, and that was Jesus Christ, right? The perfect human being. And he said when he doesn't know what to do, here's what he remembers. Jesus wept, and so can he, right? He said, so can men. Jesus was a man, he cried. And I think it's so impactful when a man cries, especially when someone passes away. Now I respect and admire your father. I would be impressed too. I mean, I had EJ Snyder come on the show and talk about that kind of stuff where you injure yourself and you're a man, you just stitch it up with no medicine and all that stuff. That stuff's cool and manly, don't get me wrong. And Please make sure if you're going to do that you're doing it the right way and you're healthy.
Correct.
Don't try it at home, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, when someone close to you dies and you don't shed a tear, not, and I'm not knocking people who communicate that way. If you're not a crier, if you keep everything inside and that's how you deal with it, or you go and write poetry and whatever, that's fine. But if you're not crying because you need to set this example of, well, we're better than this, we're tougher than this, it's not good. You know, it really isn't. And it's not good to teach your children that it's not okay to grieve when someone passes away. And because they're going to instinctively think, okay, I'm supposed to lock it all up. And, you know, I'll say it again, I say it all the time on the show. The Vietnam guys who came on my show locked stuff up and they said 40 years later, it all came out. You know, it will come out, you know, it over time and everyone's little. You know, as they had said, they had a concrete box in their mind where they kept stuff away. Everyone's concrete box is gonna, you know, deteriorate at a faster rate. But yeah, Jesus cried and so can you. Jesus wept when people died and he was gonna bring them back. People he knew were not dead, he still cried. And it's to set an example.
Absolutely.
Now, Mr. Strubar, I'd like to thank you so much for your time, for coming on the show and sharing all that advice with us. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you can find Mr. Strubar's information in the description below for the podcast episode. Check out his books. There'll be his LinkedIn. And then check out Owl. Download the app today and find him on there so you can talk to him and have him as a guest on your show or just have him as a mentor in your life.
Sailing through the ocean blue, nuclear reactors, my crew, guiding the ship. The stars as our guide, through the waves we ride. Jokes of laughter fill the air. On this voyage we have to share, working together, side by side, as one family we will abide. In the heart of the ship we reside, nuclear operators with pride, powering the vessel with every stride. Our mission, a source of great pride.